Dr. Lauren Lindner is the founder of Serenity Park, a sanctuary where parrots in need of a home meet veterans in need of healing, and the surprising journey that happens next. Animal lover though she was, Lindner was definitely not looking for a pet. Then came Sammy, a mischievous and extremely loud, bright pink cockatoo who had been abandoned. It was love at first sight, but Sammy longed for a companion. Enter Mango, lover of humans. Meanwhile, Lindner, a clinical psychologist by trade, began to meet homeless veterans on the streets of Los Angeles. Before long, she was a full-time advocate for these homeless men and women, many of them former service members who were often suffering from PTSD and finding it hard to navigate the large VA healthcare system. Ultimately, Dr. Lindner created a program for them, too. She tells her stories in the book Birds of a Feather, a true story of hope and the healing power of animals. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Lauren Lindner to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
And it's my pleasure as well.
So you are the founder of Serenity Park, a sanctuary where parrots in need of a home meet veterans in need of healing. How did this all come about for you?
It was rather serendipitous, actually. It was a matter of convenience. I brought two rescued parrots to a program I was running for homeless veterans, and I noticed that the parrots had more of a way into their hearts than I had, and that was eye-opening for me. Animals seem to have that way to get right in, right past the defenses.
What is it specifically about a bird, or the parrot in particular, that is able to do that?
Well, parrots in particular are capable of speech, and they actually say things like, come here, hold me, I love you. And that is very compelling to a veteran who hasn't had a whole lot of positive contacts after coming back from military service. So having even a self-important little parrot saying, come here, hold me, you melt a little bit of that armor around the heart. And the other thing is that parrots are part wild creatures, and the ones that we have at our sanctuary are capable of flight. We have large flight aviaries for them to fly around in. So they don't have to come to you. They're not like a domesticated dog that will sit at your feet when you call him or her. But these birds deliberately, purposefully come and want to establish a relationship, and that's meaningful.
You point out that as a psychologist in therapy, men and women, these veterans, these men and women would often be silent in their sessions, but they would share their stories and they would share their feelings more easily with animals. What do you think accounts for that? I mean, because that tells us a lot about animals, but it also tells a lot about us, too, doesn't it?
It does. It tells us that we have co-evolved with these creatures. We have had animals as part of our landscape since not just childhood, but since our genetic code was established. And we can't extricate ourselves from that and the importance of being not just with animals, but really being in nature. We are part of nature ourselves. We can't think of ourselves as separate from it. The fact is that we heal as being part of nature. If we allow ourselves to go out and go for a hike or, you know, be around animals, I think that most people who are around animals realize the benefits that they get from them. And, of course, science has demonstrated all of the positive effects of petting animals and reducing our heart rates and improving our surgical recovery times and all manners of things. But the very basic fact is we feel better when we're around animals. Human beings are indeed animals.
These men and women who are veterans are coming into this, and they are healing, but so are the animals themselves. And I assume that's key to the success here.
It is key. It was key for me in particular because there were many other programs that benefited the human being, and I wanted this to benefit both species. And I really made a point of bringing in animals who had been traumatized. And some of the research I had done previous to establishing the sanctuary was on PTSD in other species, like chimpanzees and elephants, because PTSD and traumatic stress does occur in other vertebrates. We all have the same kind of mechanisms that create the stress response. And because these parrots had post-traumatic stress themselves, and the veterans did as well, the remarkable healing that occurred became obvious because they got each other. People with PTSD are not used to being trusted, and they also don't trust very easily. So they don't rush into a relationship. They have to take their time to establish that trust, and the parrots certainly needed it as well. Human beings had been a source of great trauma to them. So being able to trust again was something that both of them had to do, and that was just one of the commonalities that they shared. Some of them really had some self-inflicted injuries, and they had to recover from that as well and stop doing those things. Parrots would bang their heads against the cage wires or pluck out their feathers. But as they reduced the levels of stress and developed a relationship with a trusting other, they really healed, and it was obvious. You could see the feathers growing back, and you could see the men and women actually smiling again, and not just having relationships with the parrots, but having that generalized to reunification with family members and loved ones.
I met recently a remarkable man who had a couple of tours of duty and is suffering from PTSD. He has found great comfort and I think relief, but also some healing through working with horses. And I asked the question this way, which is, do you find certain people react differently to different animals that when you find a match, if you will, that it's something that can be very, very important to the individual and to those two creatures who have bonded?
Absolutely, and horses make for great therapy. Many roads lead to Rome. That's one thing I've been convinced of. The parrots are excellent therapists. They're the only ones that actually speak our language. But
right.
Also, we use wolves here in our other program at the Wolf Sanctuary that we established here in the mountains above Los Angeles. And again, these are creatures that are part wild. They're part wolf and part dog. They're wolf dogs. And they don't have to come to you because, once again, we have very large enclosures, 2-, 3-, 4-acre enclosures for the animals. And they don't have to approach, but they choose to include these veterans into their pack. And that's another wonderful way of healing that we've found to really work well.
In that healing and that bonding, when the time is being spent, whether it be a wolf or a parrot or a horse or a dog or whatever the animal may be, what is happening? What actually is going on between the animal and the human and the relationship that is allowing the healing to take place?
I wish I could answer that with science, with real data, because I'd love to do that research, and maybe someone out there will help me to do that. It takes a lot of money. But what we can find just anecdotally and through observation, and also through some basic testing, because we do measure the results of depression and anxiety and things like family reunification with our veterans, what we do notice is that there's a calm that takes over them, that they feel like they are accepted into a pack or a flock, that they have meaning again. And for veterans, this is a very important point. Veterans joined up to be of service, and when they came back from military service, they really felt like they had lost a part of themselves. So for veterans in particular, it's really important to feel that they're doing some purposeful work that holds some meaning, and for them, it's being of service. So helping heal another being really seems to be something that goes right to the heart for them. So that's one thing, and then, of course, as I've mentioned, being out in nature, because both of our sanctuaries are based in the natural world, and then not having those bright lights and, working in a cubicle setting really helps these veterans as well. But what we find just basically is the ability to relate to another, whether it's feathered or furred, it doesn't seem to matter. it really means that you're establishing a relationship, and those relationships help you to have the foundations of empathy, compassion, forgiveness, all the things that matter in human relationships. And I really believe that those generalize, and that's why our veterans are successful in getting back with spouses and children and parents, and such a difference it makes.
Talk a little bit about that transition of going from that animal-human bond to taking those tools and bringing them in and allowing you to have a more normal and perhaps in many cases bring back what a relationship was prior to the trauma that was suffered.
Those are tools, and those are skills that can be developed. It's not like you either have them or you don't. You can learn that, and that's part of our emotional education, our social learning, not just mind intellectual learning. Because when you're around the animals, you have to develop trust. You can't just rush into a relationship. They won't allow it, especially those who have been traumatized themselves, as I said. So you're taking your time in developing the relationship, getting to know each other, what you like and don't like, the gives and takes of a relationship. Those are the fundamentals of having a relationship with anyone. And in fact, having a relationship with an animal is certainly having a relationship. And bringing those skills, which are the patience, the understanding, and I think above all, what I've found with my veterans is forgiveness. They've seen these animals traumatized by humans over and over again. Parrots live for decades, sometimes 70 years kept in small cages, going from home to home, and very often actually, you know, I don't want to go into too many details, but beaten or treated in ways that are just very cruel. And for these animals to forgive the veteran really means a lot to them, because they know that they're special in their minds, in the animals' minds, that they've passed some kind of test. And very often these veterans have burned bridges with their family members and loved ones. And to be able to go back and get their forgiveness really means the ability to have a relationship with them again. So forgiveness and compassion, putting themselves in the other's feathers, you know, being able to get the other person and know what they need and provide those needs, responding back and forth. These are very basic fundamentals of having a healthy give-and-take relationship that we all aspire to. And I really have seen, tangibly, the families coming back into these people's lives. And that's really important as well. I mean, we're social beings. We can't really survive on our own.
One of the things that fascinated me about the book is that animals are still animals, and occasionally they will do things that is erratic or does not make sense to us. It's not erratic to them, but it is to us. And you talk about the patience that the veterans have with the bird that they perhaps would not have with an erratic behavior from a human.
Now, isn't that the truth? Very often we are more forgiving because we don't feel like it's intentional, like you're deliberately trying to hurt me.
Right.
And that means a lot, because then you're more apt to forgive. You're more apt to realize, oh, well, that's just them. Very often we don't allow that kind of understanding and empathy within our relationships. We think people have ulterior motives, and we misperceive their intentions. And with an animal, we can sort of just shrug it off. Well, you know, that was Mango misbehaving. If you read the book, you saw that Mango was quite a mischievous little creature, and he liked to steal people's treasured objects. And very often the veterans who experienced this thought that other people were stealing their things and were getting quite angry at the people because they thought they're trying to get one over on them. But when they realized it was Mango, then it was like, oh, that silly bird. He's really such a boy's boy. He loves my tools. And it becomes less personal and less deliberate. And we can have more of a shrugging of the shoulders and a forgiveness, and that's important, and that's a seed in being able to say, you know, you got to choose your battles. Not everything has to be a big production and a big deal. Sometimes we just have to agree to disagree and forgive.
The name of the book is Birds of a Feather, A True Story of Hope and the Healing Power of Animals. It is published by St. Martin's Press. Dr. Lauren Lindner, I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning and for the great work that you do as well.
Well, I thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. A great pleasure to have you on the program. Again, the name of the book, Birds of a Feather, published by St. Martin's Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.